Foreign solar panels and washing machines will get more expensive in the U.S. as the Trump administration moves to fight overseas competition. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Trump administration is imposing new tariffs on imported washing machines and solar products. American appliance manufacturers say they've been facing rising competition in recent years, so now imports of larger residential washers will have a 20 to 50% tax in the first year. But it is the solar piece of this new decision, a 30% tax on imported solar cells and panels, that's getting even more attention today. For more on this, I'm joined live by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Kimberly, what's the Trump administration's reasoning for this?
David, this announcement came from the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, who says artificially cheap solar panels from other countries, particularly China, have really gutted the American solar industry. So this tax applies after 2.5 gigawatts worth of imported solar cells and panels in terms of how much output these panels would give you in electricity. And then that 30% tariff would drop to a 15% tariff after 4 years.
And what's the reaction been so far to this?
Lots and lots of blowback, especially internationally. Obviously, China is upset, saying this move hurts the global trade environment. South Korea, another big solar exporter, says they're going to take this to the World Trade Organization. Others question just how much this will really help American manufacturers. Here's Varun Sivaram, who's a science and technology fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
China supported its own manufacturers about a decade ago. And it, in doing so, it enabled them to flood the global market with below-cost solar panels. By 2011, United States solar manufacturers accounted for less than 5% of global solar production.
So he says this move is probably too little too late for that part of the industry. Obviously, U.S. solar manufacturers would disagree and are pleased to get some relief.
All right, industry, solar manufacturers, but what about the jobs part of this?
And that's where this move is getting a ton of pushback as well here in the U.S. The Solar Energy Industries Association, which is the big group for this, says this new tariff will cause the loss of roughly 23,000 jobs in the U.S. this year, plus delay or cancel solar investments. The argument there being that this will push up the price of solar installation and therefore discourage people and businesses from going solar. But keep in mind, those jobs, being solar installers and technicians, pay pretty well, and it's a growing sector.
Kimberly, thank you. Let's check the numbers. FTSE in London is, let's call it flat. It's up a point. S&P and Dow futures are down 0.2% each. The 10-year Treasury yield is down 2.63%. Government, business, and thought leaders from around the world are gathering in the Swiss ski resort of Davos for the opening day today of the World Economic Forum. It's an annual event for power figures to mix. Among the academic papers approved for presentation at Davos this time around is seen as a veiled barb aimed at the Trump administration. That paper attacks what it sees as sloppy thinking about trade issues, such as the notion that all trade deficits are bad and all surpluses are good. For more on this week's meeting, let's go to our editorial partner, the BBC, whose economics editor Kamal Ahmad is in Davos.
I've been coming to Davos now for nearly 10 years, and this is certainly the first time since the financial crisis that there has been global growth across all the major drivers of growth. So that's Japan, China, emerging markets, North America, and the European continent. This is the first time there has been this, what's called the grand synchronization. This growth, some of it being driven by the American tax cuts, the stimulus that President Trump has put in place in America, but also this big global trend of the growth of the middle classes, the growth of consumption. Finally, there is a cyclical upswing.
Now, when the government was shut down over the weekend in the U.S., the possibility arose that President Trump would not go to Davos. But with that issue kicked down the road about 3 weeks, it appears the president will go as planned. For a perspective from Europe, Stefan Richter is editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. Good morning.
Hi, David.
So these world leaders gathered at the ski resort there, I mean, know where President Trump stands on global institutions, on retreating from globalization, on America first. So do any of these leaders think they're going to get actual business done with the U.S. president?
I think they believe they get business done in his absence. But as for him, I think there's an abiding sense that leaders feel like he's treating them the same way as he's playing Democrats at home, meaning that he's playing for keeps. There just doesn't seem to be any give and take or any reliability with the kinds of deals that Mr. Trump could advance but doesn't advance.
Now, President Trump will have the closing speech at Davos. We don't know what the text of that is yet, but one imagines it will say America First or variations on that theme a few times. I mean, that could be seen as an opportunity for other places to step in the role of a global leader. One thinks of Europe. One thinks of China.
And in Europe, everybody has long been thinking about Angela Merkel, but she's soft on China, just like she's always been soft on Mr. Erdogan of Turkey. She's not even been able to form a government so far, and there are some lingering doubts as to whether it would happen. Clearly, the leader from now on in Europe is Monsieur Macron in Paris. Macron is really one of a kind. He's an extremely smart guy, perhaps sometimes too aloof and arrogant, but he's learning that in the business of politics, he can't afford that. So it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Now, you're not going to pay $70,000 to get in. That's what a ticket costs this year. But maybe you could have gotten a press pass. You're not going this year?
I'm not going because the fun times in the olden days where one could actually be in the main hall as a journalist are long gone. These days, most journalists are corralled in what would be called the Schweinestall. You know, you hang with all the journalists and don't have access to all the principals other than for some maybe press meetings or interviews. So it's no longer anywhere near as interesting as it used to be.
The Schweine what? My German's rusty. That's where the pigs live.
You got it.
Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist. Always good to talk to you.
All the best to you, David.
He's just kidding about the pigs. The media village at the World Economic Forum is usually all spit and polish, although it is a bit of a stroll in the bracing air over to the Congress Center where the bigwigs are. Davos has had 6 feet of snow in 6 days. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.